Hi and welcome to CDI's Restorative Practices podcast, Circles of Connection, where we get right into the heart of the community and talk all things RP. These past few months, we've been busy collecting stories from right across Ireland about the impact of RP on people's work and life. We talked to social and community workers, youth workers, SNAs, teachers, students and more to gather their testimonies and stories. Each episode is focusing on a different setting. If you're not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative questions and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of our podcast series where it's all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, a restorative practices trainer for CDI, delighted to travel around the country to collect these stories. We start our journey in CDI, actually in Tala West, with Geraldine, who is a vibrant community leader in the area and a strong advocate of restorative practices. She had a lot to say. First, she told me about herself and her involvement in her community through the years.
My name is Geraldine Conlon and I am a community leader within the Glenshane area, and I work with trying to build community development, community spirit. I do it on a volunteer basis at the moment. I got introduced to restorative practices about 5 years ago now, and I've been helping the CDI to sustain restorative practices in Tala West. When I was introduced to RP, it was sort of, I had been trying to get together a parenting network in Tala West in order to give support to parents, and so that community things that were going on in the area were communicated better. And this led me to being introduced to Claire and starting my RP training, which I went on then to be one of the trainers. I'd done the Trainers of Trainers course. I'm in Tala 33 years now. And so I would have been involved as a child in all the community processes. I went on then to be youth leaders within community programmes, with the sort of the residents associations did summer projects and days out, and I would have always been involved. But it all fell apart as such when I would have been hitting into teenage years, and it was only sort of groups that still participated within the community. And it was something that always played on me, because growing up in that community was fantastic. There was a hell of a lot, like that takes a village. And within the sort of late 80s, early 90s, within Tala, it was a village. It was, everybody was sort of looking out for each other, and there was that support there. So when I sort of had kids and came to age to sort of get more active, I was back doing school runs, and I was back more in my community than I would have been through sort of later teenage years into the 20s. I realised that nothing existed anymore like this in the community. And it wasn't everybody was involved. It was select people were told when things were happening. So I started asking questions from all, like my mother and her friends and my friends from school's mothers that were involved. And one of the things that every single one of them said to me was, it was a breakdown in communication. There was falling outs that weren't resolved. People had arguments and stopped talking to each other, where silly things grew to the fact that this community was ruined. It was, people just couldn't get over simple things. Simple things like someone may have got told the wrong time for a bus and turned up and missed the bus and didn't speak to someone for 15 years. Just silly things like that. Or as well, maybe people who were more capable of actually participating more in a professional way than a volunteer way, people start, they would have gotten a lot of help from the council and things like that, and people start to resent that in them. So a lot of people who were active in the community start getting a lot of flack for it, so they stepped over. So within that circumstance, that's what was going through my head when I found restorative practices. And it's exactly what is needed in a community, because it's going to, with the new people coming up, as in my age group and younger, who are new mothers, or like my kids are hitting teenage years, but I still would class myself as a new mother, to be honest. But it's sort of to build that mentality of community spirit in them now, but also to give them the sort of skills to cope with what is involved, what having to deal with other people and other people's situations and characteristics and what's going on in their life that they might bring into it.
Geraldine was quickly convinced restorative practices were a good fit for her community, and she went on talking about the impact the training had on her interaction with people.
I think as well, though, one of the main things about restorative practices, I know with myself, with just trying to practice it on a daily basis, it is quite amazing how people just automatically copy your behaviour. As in, I would be in and out of the 13 schools in Tallaght West a lot, dealing with homeschool community liaisons, as with their active parents, just to help them with advice. And when you're doing the same thing over and over again, and people sort of get used to how to expect, what to expect of you even, people automatically reflect back to me now. So I'd walk into a room and I would be the only one who would be trained in restorative practices, but they all know what way I'm going to hold a meeting. They all know how to approach me or how to talk to me to get the best results out of it, which I think is the most amazing thing. It's one of the things that keeps me sort of on a volunteer role, pushing to do whatever I can to sort of implement it, especially in my area over in Glenshane and Jobstown and so on, because it's natural to us all. It's completely natural to us all. So when you walk into a room and you're actually shown what you would like, your expectations, this, I'm treating you as how I would like to be treated, people just automatically they respond to it so well. Now, I know a couple of times with maybe difficult situations with other women, say, let's in schools, where there would be maybe competition, say, because with a lot of parents' associations and a lot of mothers, there can be a lot of competition for some reason where they want a certain role, just to have certain roles. And even I found with these women who would probably be a bit more difficult to deal with in the past, they were a bit standoffish. They didn't know how to take me when I first started being restorative, let's say, coming in with my language and sort of giving them more of a chance as well, which is something I talk a lot. So with RP, it's sort of reminded me it's okay not to talk, that it's okay to give other people a chance. Active listening was a big thing with me, to sort of, but you could see them being wary of it, and they were sort of like, what is this, what is she up to? And I as they sort of got more familiar to it, they would have been the first person people to come to me and go, so what are you up to, what is this, what are you doing? They liked how I would have changed meetings, the sort of inner circle, the introducing talking pieces, reminding people that we're there for the same reason and to show respect and to listen. And I found that amazing, because the people you would think you would get more conflict, more sort of argument out of changing things, were the first people to actually go, oh, hold on, what are you doing? So I found that fascinating, because a lot of, let's say, people in a community where I'd call the associates, and just to sort of, I would deal with them on a community level, but you'd be sort of people you wouldn't deal with if you didn't have to, that I find now that I would be going for coffee with them, or they'd be texting me, you know, such things on. And it just opened up the whole new platform then for me to get information to be shared to them back into my community, which I thought was just, it was amazing when you're sort of sitting like that. I kept diaries on my life anyway, so when it came to RP and you're reflecting on it and sitting, I've noticed I keep my diaries completely different now. They're easier to read back over. But as you sort of, I'd go back, say, 2 years, and I'd be reading something in a conversation with one particular person, and then I'd skip back to more recent, and I'd be like, the difference in how we communicate with each other, because they automatically reflect. It is respect. They know that I'm showing them respect, and they automatically reflect it back, which is just brilliant. It gives me that sort of passion and excitement, because even if they're not trained, they're still understanding it. So it's just trying to push them to get trained in it now. I know myself that when I got my training and I got that light bulb moment of, oh my God, this is so simple in one way, but so, so extravagant, and it can do so much in so other way, that it took away that I'm from Tallaght. There's nothing I can do to change things. No one's going to listen to me, because I know now I can sit with guards, I can sit with council members, I can sit with people who are the service providers in their area, and I have a structure and what way I'm going to communicate myself. And that's going to be constant, and they're going to know then by that I'm reliable and that there's a better understanding.
She sees the training as an empowering process, and she described a bit more what personal impact it had on her.
It's fascinating. It really is. And you sort of, especially knowing I was going to speak this morning, I was sort of reflecting like that, just thinking back on the last few years. And even with Tyke, as I said, she's 7 years of age. She's on the severe to moderate end nonverbal autistic. And every aspect of trying to get services for him, dealing with the HSC, with Chamber House, all the places that would give him his services, it is a fight. You have to sort of push to say, well, you know, he needs them, so I'm going to keep at you. And even I know my temper or what triggers me or what gets me angry. And I know that I would have let myself down, let's say, over the last few years with some very ignorant people that I would have probably had to deal with. That if I hadn't had them coping skills that RP give you, that sort of, right, take a breath, pause, what's happening here, yourself to sort of reflect on how you're going to deal with the situation, I would have probably marched down to Chambers House and start screaming at everybody that this is not fair, my son deserves. But I didn't. I done it the right way, and I was calm with them, and I was able to express my emotions without getting emotional, which is a very big thing when you're sort of, you're sitting and you're telling people repeatedly what's wrong with your child. That it affects your emotions. It can make you feel sort of very vulnerable in a way, but angry because you have to do this. Like, you have to do this for the sake of your child, and it builds up and it builds up. And I do actually, when you sit back and you sort of think, well, what am I grateful for? I would sort of think, I am so grateful that I was introduced to Claire Casey and I was able to get restorative practices, because within my life, how it has developed since I got the training, it has impacted in such a positive way. Just even just me and how I deal with it. To the fact of, I don't believe in stress anymore, where it's sort of like, if I'm feeling getting stressful, I will sort of, again, just take that pause, reflect, take a couple of breaths, and approach it again with a sort of clearer mind, which I do put down to the training I got here in the CDI with the trainers course, because it's a gift to be able to do that with yourself. It really is, or to understand how to do that with yourself, because we can all sort of go, okay, well, I'm going to take a minute. But do you really take that time to think and listen to yourself as much as you would if you were taking a minute and giving that time to somebody else? So it's really helped me in that way, because as I am a talker, I do love to talk, and there would have been a time in my life I wouldn't be comfortable with silence. So I probably would have been, especially in school or whatever, I probably would have been more of a joker, because I wasn't comfortable with silence. I just thought silence has to be filled. You know, too many things go on in your head when you're silent. But when you actually start taking them times to sort of reflect and to be silent and to actually listen, it's so much easier to get rid of the hectic things in your head, to sort of bring your focus back. And I do know as well, it's sort of, with my knowledge of RP, sort of led me to do a mindfulness course with stress management to sort of build on my training, because I do believe the restorative practice is a mindfulness practice. When you really, really look at what it is, that it teaches you even more so than what it does for who you're involved with or how you have conversations. I do feel that it sets your head that way, thinking of, you know, being aware of your thoughts and how they turn into your words and your words turn into your actions, and how you follow through on how you're thinking. Or like that, when I do get triggered and I do feel negative emotions, I'm not trying to get rid of them as soon as possible, because, you know, we're not meant to be negative. You can't have negative thoughts to be healthy or happy. That it sort of, it gives me that sort of I can concentrate on the negative thoughts just as much as the positive thoughts. So I'm letting them go as I'm feeling them. So the emotions are no longer there to sort of be triggered, because it's their life skills. It's a coping mechanism. It's an understanding of just how we should be looking after ourselves and how we should be looking after each other.
Reflecting on her own experience, she's advocating for more restorative practices in the area to reduce antisocial behaviours.
I believe it is the answer to every sort of antisocial behaviour that we have in Tallaght West at the moment. Even one thing I do say, I'm trying to encourage the community guards in Tallaght West to be more with the RP, that if they meet, like, because they would be dealing with children of 11 and 12 years of age who are getting caught up in antisocial behaviour, who were targeted from drug dealers to do runs and so on and so forth. And I'd be saying to them, a lot of them are already trained in restorative practices, but we have, like, I think 16 new ones that haven't been. And I'd be in conversations with them and I'd be saying, well, if you could use RP, if you can even use, as in, if you're in a situation, you're dealing with 11-year-olds and their parents, and the parents are saying they don't know what to do for their child, maybe you could bring in a facilitator to be able to have them conversations, and it makes it easier for the parents, and it also takes that off the community guards themselves, because they shouldn't have to be responsible for that. So it's sort of getting people to sort of understand that if it was supported and it was pushed and the quality of practice was there, it would change the circle within our area in Tallaght West. It would take away, there's a lot of people who would be eternally oppressed, and I say that a lot because I was one. So in my teenage years, sort of in our environment, I would have got very angry and very frustrated with a lot of things. And my passion, let's say, with what I would want to have done would have came more out as aggression, where I would have had, say, high conversations. I won't say arguments, but high conversations with people who were running things in the community when I was only volunteering with them, because it frustrated me that they weren't good at communication, what they expected from us.
Lastly, to prove our point, she had a powerful story to share.
One of my favourite stories of Tal. This was the moment that everything went, for me, because I saw her at work. Part of my training, when I was doing my training, I was buddied with Miss Mullen, who would have been the principal of St. Bridget's Junior National School. So during our training, we had to train. So we chose a group of parents from St. Bridget's School to do the training with. Amongst these parents was a fabulous woman by the name of Evita. And I happened to know Evita since I was 16 years of age. She's the sort of woman who has no confidence in herself, will say to you over and over again, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't a clue what you're talking about. And while she was doing the training with us, she'd actually got a broken leg. And she sat there and she repeatedly told me and Mary, I'm trying my best to take it in, but some of it's going over my head. I'm trying, you know, it makes sense, but, you know, I won't be confident in it. Which, that is her character. It's generally, she's sort of one of these that her capabilities are astounding, but she doesn't see her own capabilities. And we had organised one night, myself and herself with a couple of other people, friends from the community, we were going to meet another friend and we were going to have a couple of drinks. So I had said to Evita, I'll meet you at your house. She lives in Brookview. And I had walked from my house up to hers. As I turned the corner onto her road, I saw about 20 youngfellas of all different age groups, of different ethnic backgrounds. Some were settled, some were travellers, some were from the black community. And I was a bit, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Because in our area, when you see groups of lads, you sort of worry. And as I approached Evita's house, I noticed these lads were going to her house. And at that moment, I saw Evita's partner come out of the house, very annoyed and very angry. At this, the young flit started shouting. It was got to do with kids their son had had a fight with another young fella on the road. And the older brother was having a party at the time and decided he was going to look after this, and he was going over to claim my friend Evita's partner because of what had happened with the boys on the road. I sort of walked into this. I saw him coming running. I saw the crowd of lads, and I was being, oh, what's going on? At that, I saw my friend Evita, who stated she didn't take in what we were training her with the RP, walk straight out and go, oh, no, no, hold on, hold on. Now, what's happening? Now, what's happening? And turn to the main young fella who had started and gone, look, I want to hear what you have to say, but we can't do it like this. This is just going to cause arguments. So how about you come in with me and tell me what happened so that I know, because I already know, I've already asked my son. That was it. It dissolved. Everything dissolved. Every other young fella that was behind him, ready for the argument, ready, sort of looked back. They didn't know how to deal with this woman walking out going, okay, I want to hear you. What's happened? And to me, I went, oh my God, it's working. It's working in the community. When I witnessed how just one woman saying the words, okay, what's happened? I want to hear. Just end of situation. The problem was resolved, and still now to this day, they have good relationships with each other. To the fact that actually the mother of the young flits who had been implemented in it was on holidays at the time. And when she came back and neighbours had told her about what had happened, she went over and thanked Evita for taking the time, because she wasn't there to be responsible for her children. So it did sort of even build that sort of bond in the community with them. So it's just, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how a simple thing like that can make such an impact, especially on these young flits and teenage years that are, they're looking for a reason to let all the aggression out of them. And but they were happy with the outcome. They were happy with how they were dealt with. And the relationship is grand since. There's no more hassle between the families. There's no more arguments. And this is a woman who sat and stated, oh, well, I'm not really sure. I'm not taking all this in. She was on medication for a broken leg. But it just showed that even if she thought she didn't, because it is an instinct in all of us, we all have these basic needs and wants. She was able to just implement it without thinking, which is this. That's fascinating to me, because that's what you want. You want restorative practice to be an instinct in most people, because it is bringing us back to the basics of what we need, just as in support and understanding and to be heard.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to rate and to subscribe to the show. And thank you to the production team at the podcast studios and to all who took part on the project. Find out more at cdi.ie.